multitude, sorry, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? I think the word storm is one of the most appropriate ways to phrase or describe. It's a perfect illustration of the troubles and trials that we go through. There's the frantic energy that we have before the trial starts, as we see the trouble coming. Some storms are devastating. Some are mildly inconveniencing. You know, I think this morning, you know, with all the snow that fell, that's a mild inconvenience to some. It's catastrophic to others, of course. Not trying to belittle that. If you get up in the morning and you ain't got no way to get out, that's more than just an inconvenience. That's a problem. Brother Bill came into the prayer band and said, Hey, I want to let you guys know my neighbor came and did my snow. And if you had that blessing, no, you understand how great that is. What a wonder that is to have somebody come on by and take care of that burden for you. Other storms, well, they're hyped. Seems like every time they talk about a storm in the weather, anything over 2 inches, and my goodness, buy all the bread and all the milk. And by the time it comes, it's a light dusting, or it's just a couple inches, and barely a flash of lightning out there when the storm comes and goes. But of course, we know that there are some that hit deep, and they wreck us, and they change our lives and everything having to do with it. Yeah, I think storm is a proper illustration of the troubles and trials that we go through. Sometimes in a storm, I understand that among ships, especially during this time, it became necessary to dump things overboard. And I'm sure they had a rhyme or a reason to what they threw over the edge, but I'm sure there were things that under no circumstances were you to throw over. In this passage of Scripture, we learn that when we, in our lives, we're out tossed about on the storm, the one thing we should never toss over the side of our boat is our faith. These men, they looked at these waves, and I'm not going to try to belittle them. Well, they should have just been so excited to go through this, knowing that Jesus was in them. We would have all lost heart, I'm sure. It says that the boat was full. I mean, you're getting water in this thing. And it's getting disastrous. And these people, some of them, they were skilled sailors. They were fishermen by occupation. So when they get nervous, you know there's a problem. So there was an issue. And sometimes the storms and the trials of our lives threaten to take away our faith. They threaten to take away our confidence. And fear overwhelms us like the waters of the sea. To me personally, I love watching storms. You know, I'll sit there, I'll watch the snow fall, and I'm almost like a kid in a candy shop. Ooh, look at that. I remember a particular time, I think it was when we first moved into the house there at Flushing, we had a massive thunderstorm. And I was sat there in that little middle part watching that, and I think Danielle and Sister Nancy were on the phone, and Sister Nancy was bemoaning the fact that Brother Wade was out there watching the storm. And she goes, well, that's where my husband is. Can't remember exactly how that conversation went. But I do know that while he was watching the storm, and Sister Nancy was like, I can't believe he's doing that. I was out there watching the storm, just enjoying it. You know what makes it so enjoyable is I often watch it from the porch, or I had that little Florida room thing, that little connector area between the garage and the house I would sit in. I felt safe. Why? Because I had a roof and walls and windows. Right? I don't mind the snowstorm because I'm within a warm house watching the snow fall outside. I'm affected but not hurt. If I'm going to watch the storms of my life, if I'm going to live through these things, I want the safety and protection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I lose my faith and I walk away from him, I become like Peter. I begin to sink into that water. And there ain't nothing good for me inside that water. There ain't nothing good within those waves, the tide that'll pull me under and cause all manner of hurts. No, I feel much safer knowing that Jesus Christ is there. As a matter of fact, I hate going through a storm, but if I've got to go through one, I feel much better about it when I can look over and I can see it in my master's hands. No matter how high the waves go, I know he's controlling them. No matter how much damage is done to my life, no matter what is going on, I know that he's got full control over what's going on. In times of great trial and oh, we've all had them, haven't we? Big ones, small ones, all manner of storms of life. We've had them. And we all have unique perspectives. We all went through them in different ways. Even if you had the same terrible thing happen to you as somebody else, you all went through it just a little bit different. And there's no making it better. There's no erasing it out of our lives. But there is peace, and there is healing, and there is protection from the Lord. So what do we do when the storm is bearing down, and we recognize that there is, in fact, a storm? And I'll tell you what, storms, they've got the ability to rage, don't they? You know, I think of a few people I've heard of just recently, a few people on our prayer request list, that I sit there and I look at what is going on in their lives. I say, that is not just a storm, that is a raging storm. Every day brings a new pain. Every twist and turn of the boat is knocking them around. They are struggling. But I tell you what, I've met so many people going through those kinds of things, and they hold on tighter to their faith because they know there is but one man that can help them. It is not a doctor in the office. It is not some book that they could buy. It is not some elixir that they could throw down their throat that'll make everything better. They know that it's the Lord Jesus Christ that is the master of that storm. And they are trusting and relying on him. That's faith. When regardless of the size of the storm, and my friends, the storms do rage here on this cursed earth, the problems, they do come. Oh, you'll get rid of one illness just to find another. And sometimes in those raging storms, we find ourselves overwhelmed. You ever been overwhelmed? We'll get to wrestling around in our house. And something I'm realizing is that the bigger they are, the harder it is to wrestle them. Last night, I kind of had a moment where we're kind of wrestling around, and I fell. Now listen here, Daddy is strongest there is. I've never been taken down. But one of them got in just the right position, kicked my leg out from underneath me, and down I went. And guess what? Oh no, Dad's down. What do we? Hold on, guys. Dad, do you think they did that? No, they did not. I taught my kids to seize every opportunity they get, and they did. Just dog piled on top of me. Get him! He's down. Sometimes life feels like that with our problems. The moment you're brought down to one knee, you hear everything around you go, all right, we got him. Jump. And that's hard. You know, it's cute when it's kids. But when it's illness and trouble and trial, it's no fun. It's not a funny memory. It's rough. What do we do when we feel overwhelmed? And I tell you what, you ever get your eyes off the Lord, that's exactly what's going to happen. All of a sudden, there'll be no raising your arm one way or the other. There'll be no decision-making one way or the other. It will overtake you, body, heart, and soul. We need to turn to him. We need to keep our eyes on him. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, I am waiting on you. Because the moment you forget about him, you will lose your courage. You will lose your strength. We need as much strength as we can. We need as much courage as we can. Look at these guys. And again, I'm not picking because this is us. Verse 40 where he says, and he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? What did he say? Why are you so fearful? Verse 41, and they feared exceedingly. Hey, don't be afraid. and they got more afraid. That's us, man. We need every drop of courage we can, because sometimes we'll get into the thick of it. We will lose our minds. We'll throw those shades across the curtain. We'll throw those shades across the windows. We'll sit in our beds. We'll wallow in our sorrow. We'll not do a thing to lift a finger to solve any of the problems going on. Do not lose sight of the Lord. The storm will overwhelm you. And sometimes those storms, they threaten to break us. I've known many a person, they sat there and they knew that their time on earth was limited. And whether the Lord saved them or whether the Lord was going to take them home, they knew that there was very little walking away from this storm they were going to be able to do. But it was all in His hands. And you know what I found? The people of faith, when they're in that position, they struggle for a little bit. But then all of a sudden they're overwhelmed by peace and the presence of the Lord. I've never seen God fail to do that to His people. Most often the saved, when they're in those moments, God gives them something that they would not have had if they didn't have Him. I've had the great misfortune to be at the bedside of quite a few people who were about to pass away. And I will tell you, there's a difference between being at the bedside of someone who knows the Lord and someone who does not. And I'm not picking on those who did not. My heart breaks for them and their families. But I'll tell you what, I've almost walked away encouraged by some that were laying there at death's door just because of the strength of their faith. Oh, something along this line. Something on this earth one day will break each and every one of us. If it's not for the rapture, how do I put it? Bearing the rapture ain't none of us getting out of here alive, folks. Something's going to get us. Be it an accident, our health, old age, disease, sickness, cancer, something will break us. But you better believe that the moment that happens, and long before, the Lord is walking with us. Don't you lose sight of Him. Because that's when you need it the most. Listen, we are all going to face storms. Some of us have faced storms. We haven't quite gotten ourselves calmed down from yet. Right? And I got out there. I got out the snowblower this morning. And I'll be honest with you. I didn't think there was enough snow from Wednesday for me to deal with. So I just waited. We just drove on it. Didn't bother with it. Right? Still dealing with the last snowfall. Got up this morning, dealt with the new snowfall. Some of us were still sweeping our hair back from the last windstorm we went through. And we go through another one. We just stopped taking the prescription from the last thing that ailed us. And here's this brand new one. Hey, we're still busy dealing with this trial. Our hearts are still broken by this thing. And here comes another one. We've all been there. We'll be there again. That is the matter of life here on earth. It ain't perfect. When God said death will enter in and we ignored it, we got exactly what He warned us would happen. And I'll tell you this, I'm so glad that even though He can say I told you so, He don't. I'm glad He forgives. I'm glad He loves. You know, there comes a time in raising children, and I think I've had that a few times where I've gone to people that have warned me, hey, you do this and something bad will happen. And I go, okay, and I go ahead and I do it anyway. And the bad thing that they predicted to happen, happened. And I go to them and say, oh, see now what happened. They say, well, you asked for it, you deal with it. And I tell, there's a lot to be learned from that. I'm not picking on those that do that. There's a lot to be learned from that. But I'm glad God, instead of just letting all of mankind go straight to hell, He saved us. Glad for it. And not just that, but He does bear our burdens and weathers the storms for us. So let's take a look again as we see the storm is blowing. The wind is rocking the ship. The ship itself is taking on water. It says the ship so that it was now full. Verse 38, and He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. Sometimes we wonder where the Lord is. Are you sleeping? Are you not paying attention to what's going on? Do you see what's happening here, Lord? When will you come? As the psalmist said, oh, how long? How long, O Lord? But what we fail to realize is he's been in the ship the entire time. He got in that ship knowing where they were going. I firmly believe that there was not a thing that the Lord experienced on earth he did not set up himself. He got on that ship knowing well that we were about to learn a very important lesson about the power that God had. He knew what he was doing. So I'll tell you this, when he saved your soul, he knew what storms were coming. And while you're sitting there panicking going, Lord, where are you? He's sitting there, knowing what he's going to do, knowing when he is going to do it. It is up to us to be patient. Whoo, and patience is hard, isn't it? Especially when you got that much water in your boat. Especially when you're seeing everything go rocking around and flying around. Patience is at a premium. You think eggs are hard to come by or expensive to come by. Patience is, whoo. It's out there. But we need to be patient. Because I'll tell you this. Lord didn't come into your life by happenstance. He is not a fair weather friend. He's in that boat with you. I've often used this illustration. Many other pastors have. And they've said this. That sometimes he calms the storm. And sometimes he calms you through the storm. And that's his choice. He knows what's best for us. And it's hard for us to imagine that. It's hard for us to think that when everything's going so what we would see is poorly. But there's some stuff we need to know about the Lord. And let's take a look at him. The Lord was right there with him, wasn't he? Where was Lord, where are you? Don't you care that we perish? I got in the boat with you, didn't I? Didn't I promise you never to leave you nor forsake you? Listen, we're going to go through some stuff. This is a bad planet you're on. You're going to hit the waves. You're going to bounce. But I'm going to be right there in the boat with you. I'm going to tell you how to do it. I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm going to give you strength and peace and comfort while you do it. I'm going to be there for you. Don't question him. He's there. That's the love that he has for you. You see, God doesn't forget about us for a while and all of a sudden remember. Oh, yeah, well, let's take a look down there, see what's going on. Oh, no, they got themselves in trouble. Well, it's a good thing I looked. That's not who he is. He's sitting there saying, all right, you got another 3 or 4 days of this, and my answer is coming. Just wait 3 or 4 more days. Hey, one more round. One more round and you'll find deliverance. 3 more weeks and you'll no longer be suffering at home, but you'll be up here with me, never to suffer again. You see, he knows how your storm ends. He knows what your storm needs. Just because he ain't panicking with you, and just because he's not immediately jumping up. I mean, wouldn't that be a better story if I was writing this story, right? If this was a work of fiction and I was writing it, you know how I would write it? That the Lord was sat out there on the front of the ship and he finally had enough of the rocking around and raised his hands up and caused the storm to stop and everybody blinked their eyes and they opened them up again and they were on the shore. That's how I would write it because that's exactly what I would have wanted if I was in the boat with him. And in my life today, I'll tell you my selfishness, that's what I want, Lord. I get down on my knees. I want you to take this pain away. I blink my eyes. I want it gone. And I never want to see it again. See, that's how a selfish person like me would write that story. That's how a blind person, an arrogant person like me would write that story. But aren't you glad that the Bible wasn't written by man? Aren't you glad these ain't fairy tale stories for us to tell around a campfire? This is historical accuracy. Aren't you glad? Because I am. I am. Because I don't get no stronger my way. I don't get better my way. My kids, they get tests. They don't like their tests. You know who could easily do those tests for them? Me, right now. A couple more years, I'm going to be useless. But Right now, I could whip through those tests, no problem. Simple multiplication, I got you. Reading test, got you. I could do all this stuff, right? I'll do this real well. And I could take every test for them. We're homeschooled. They wouldn't know. My handwriting's atrocious. They have no idea. But are they going to get any stronger? Are they going to get any smarter? Are they going to get any more personal discipline? Mm-mm. But yet we turn to the Lord. Lord, solve this and solve it now. No. That's not how you make strong. That's not how you make strong sailors. It's not. Life's hard. You got to be a certain level of tough. And God ain't ever going to put enough. God ain't ever going to put you through something unless there's some benefit that He's going to reap out of it. Remember, He works all together for good. It's not just about Him working all the things together, but He works all the things together for good. When there's a storm, I need to go to Him because that's where my answer is. I don't need to sit here and wonder why He's not panicking, wondering why He's not worried. And isn't that true? I mean, take a look. He was not overwhelmed. There was a bunch of other people panicking, and the one person that could do anything about it was asleep. I love the fact that there's no size of storm I could have in my life that's too big for God. There ain't a problem I can have that would make Him sweat. That's the size of my God. There ain't nothing that happens He can't fix for me. Sure, it might not be my way. Probably won't be in my timing because I'm a little impatient. Lord, do it now. Do it now. But there ain't nothing that worries Him. There's nothing that big on earth that worries Him. So of course He was in a boat sleeping. Because what's a storm to the Lord Jesus Christ? Ain't nothing. Death itself couldn't keep Him down. So what's a trial? What's a trouble? What's the worst that could happen to Him? He was completely unbothered by the waves. Can I tell you this? I'm not a big fan of cruises. Every time you hear about people getting sick, it's always terrible. Anything bad happens on a cruise, it makes it on the news. You know what I mean? Like if I go out hiking and something bad happens, you'll never find out about it. I go on a cruise and something bad happens, it's always bad enough to make it onto the news, right? Well, the plumbing stopped working, so everything overflowed. So you had six decks of just hot mess. Wonderful. Do I get a refund? Partial refund. Because there was 3 days where everything was going good. You got to pay for those. Not a big fan of cruises, but have you ever tried to sleep while on a boat? That's hard, isn't it? You're sitting there, and I toss and turn enough. You get out on a boat, it'll toss and turn for you. I sat there one time, I had a friend who was, he had a boat, he went out on it, and he talked about how they got into some rough water. Not a storm, but some rough water. And he bruised the side of his face because during the churning of things, he got whipped over to the side. He was in kind of one of those bunk beds that had the high walls to it. You just kind of crawl up into it. It turned him so fast, he smashed his face up against the wall. I go, oh my. Lord was so unbothered, he slept in that mess. Didn't bother him. Now me, I'd be panicking. Where's the captain? What do we got to do? What do I got to start throwing overboard? Should I tie myself to something? What do I do? Lord had himself a big old pillow and he was having himself asleep. That's how unbothered God is. But you know what does get him real interested? You going through that storm. He ain't worried about something he can't solve. But he loves and cares for us. He'll take care of that storm for us. He'll take care of us during the storm. That's who He is. That's the love that He has. Though He is unbothered by the wind and the waves, He knows exactly how much trouble we need to perfect us, to try us, to refine us. He knows exactly what it takes for us to get to where we ought to be. He knows exactly when He's going to call those waves and that storm to fall away. Even Job, as the devil was vexing him, the devil himself had a limit as to how far God would let him go. Oh no, you don't go this far. You do this, but don't you dare do that. Not even the devil himself can harm or afflict you without the Lord in complete control over what goes on. And he cares enough for you to take care of you. And I'll tell you this, if I've got a God that is unbothered by the storm and there ain't no problem big enough, and even the devil is firmly within his control, I'm happy he cares for me. Man, I'm glad to be on his side. Because there's a much worse side to be on. I see people today, they've got problems, overwhelms them. They don't have the Lord. They don't have hope. They don't go to God. Even among the saved, when they sit there and they go through their stuff and they only focus on the problems and they never turn to the Lord, they do as the book of Revelation says, they leave their first love and they're out there fighting it on their own, and they're like Peter, looking at the size of the waves and the flashing of the lightning, hearing the thunder and just losing their minds and all of it. What a sad thing. But for those of us that know where the Lord is and know to go to Him in the start of the storm, we got it different. I'm not saying He wouldn't be there for the Christian that don't. I'm saying that they're not looking for Him right. They're not going to Him the way that they should. Let's never be guilty of not going to the Lord when we know where He is. There's a song that I heard a long time ago, a story about a little boy who got lost and he's crying. And the narrator of the song found him and said, "Hey, what are you doing here? This is a busy area of town. What are you doing?" "Well, I got lost." And the whole song was, "Hey, if you can get me to this church that's on the corner of my street, I know how to get home from there." And of course, the illustration of the story was that they're trying to say, "Hey, if you can get me to the cross of that church, I can find my way home. I know where to find the Lord." I mean, that's part of the whole part of being omnipresent. He's everywhere. I ain't got to look too hard for Him. I don't got to call. I don't got to go to particular places. You know, I've talked to you. I've got these places I like to go. They're quiet. There's not a lot of people around. I'll go there and I'll pray, and I love it for its quietness. And I treat it with respect, too. I take my hat off before I go in, and I don't listen to music, and I don't look at my phone. I just, this is a sacred spot to me, where I go and I behave myself, and this is for talking to the Lord. You know, if I'm ever in trouble, I don't have to go there to talk to Him. Right. He's right there in my living room just as much as He is there. I love Psalm 139. I could find myself in the deepest part of the earth, and He's there. Even when I am surrounded by nothing but darkness, the darkness is what? As light to Him. He sees right through it. I don't have to go looking for Him. I know where He is. Get down on your knees and you pray to Him. And He'll hear you. Father, He'll hear you. How about this? You need to hear from Him. There is a book we all have. Some of us have a lot of these books. I went to a bookstore last week. Very, very well-known bookstore down there in Detroit. Just you know, between visit and mom and everything, I decided I'd stop, take a look. They had all these shelves of old books, and they had a whole shelf dedicated to Bibles. And I'm sat there in front of this shelf, just kind of looking at them, going, "Ooh, ooh, ooh. I don't need another one. I didn't get another one. Don't worry." "Oh, look at that one. That one's red. I like the color of that one. What's that one made out of?" We've got them, don't we? And if we don't got them, we can get them real cheap. We really can. Go down to the dollar store. They still sell them. Probably not for a dollar anymore, but pretty cheap. Some of us, we've got four or five. Some of us, we've got them on our phones, our tablets. We've got them all over the place. The Word of God, the precious Scriptures He's given and preserved for us. We've got it. What's keeping us from going to it? What's keeping us from diving into those precious words? You know, there's whole anthologies that people have put together. Hey, these passages of Scripture, and they'll list out the passages, are really good for when you're going through this. When you're going through that, these passages of Scripture are really good. And I like those. I'll pull those out, and I'll sit there. I'll open my Bible. I'll go through things. I'll hear everything the Lord needs me to know about that topic right there in His Word. Because He didn't leave anything out in this book. We need Him. You simply need to go to one of the 3, 4, 5 Bibles you've got and open it up. I know a guy, he's got 3 apps on his phone for the Bible alone. One will read the Bible to him. One will have Strong's Concordance on it. He can look that up. And the other one is just a regular everyday one. And I go, well, look at you. We've got all kinds of access to the Word of God. You know, the Lord, He wasn't all that far. These boats, they weren't that big, right? They weren't on the Titanic where you had to rummage around for the Lord, find the right room. It was just right down there in the bottom. We gotta go to the Lord. He ain't hard to find. He ain't far away. You call Him, He loves you. Remember His the way He said it when He said that He would leave the 99 for the one. And sometimes, folks, I'm that one. Sometimes it's you. And He finds you broken and beat up. He finds you falling off that cliff. He finds you in that mud hole. Wherever it is you've gotten yourself hung up, He finds you. Throws you up on his shoulder. I love the pictures of those shepherds when they've got a lamb or something like that. They'll throw it up over their shoulder. They'll walk around. I think that's pretty cool. If ever I stop being terrified of, you know, sheep, you know, going to the bathroom on me, maybe I'll do it too. I think that's so amazing the way they care for the animals like that. So amazing. You're His child. He comes and He gets you. And He holds you and He throws you over His shoulder. Come on. Come on, I'll take you where you need to be. You need forgiveness? I'll give you forgiveness. You need an answer for this problem? I've got them. You might have to wait a bit. We might have to get to a certain point because that's where the answer is. But either way, I'm going to take you to it. And when we go to Him, we know exactly what He will do. What is it that the Lord did? Yeah, of course, He calmed the storm. I love it when the Lord, I got to be careful with how I say this. I love it when the Lord rewards our faith. Now, your faith ought not need to be rewarded. Blessed are those that believe that haven't seen, right? That's a quotation of it, right? But that's, yeah, summary, that's the word I'm looking for. But I love it when the Lord rewards my faith. Any minute now, the Lord's going to give me the answer to this. And could take days. Could really take minutes. There's the answer I was looking for. You know, I don't understand why the Lord's doing this. But I see exactly what it is that He wants me to do. So I'm going to keep doing the things I know I need to do while I'm waiting for Him to do what I'm hoping He'll do. And so very often on the road of doing what He's asked me to do, I find the answer. I find the passage of Scripture. I'll tell you this, as a pastor, sometimes I'll be studying for a sermon and privately I'll be struggling with something. You know, not necessarily sin, but just you know, going through a storm of my own. And while I'm studying for a sermon somewhere else, as I'm kind of looking up different words and looking up different passages of Scripture, while I'm chasing a rabbit, there's the verse I need. There's the reminder I was looking for. There's some hope. There's some peace. There's some comfort. There it is. Right there. If I can hold out just a little bit longer, I know what He'll do. You see, when I go to the Lord, I know what He's going to do. I may not be able to say specifically, but I've got it narrowed down. When I go to the Lord, He's either going to do exactly what He did there, where He stands up and He rebukes the problems in my life, solves the problems, and after that, what's the word that He used? There's calm, right? Calm. Great calm. Sometimes He'll do that. I pray to Him and I expect Him to do that. I do. Lord, I know that however You shake this down, it's going to, and in a way that I probably can't even imagine, You're going to fix what's going on. The other thing that he could do is wake up, stand on that deck with me, right? And hold my hand till the storm's over. But I'll tell you this, since the day the Lord saved you, you've never had to face a storm alone. You've never gone without someone who loved and cared for you and sat with you. Even when those storms came to an abrupt end, you had somebody there to cause that end. That's who he is. So you know what? Will he calm the storm? Will he calm me? I don't know, but I do know this. He'll be in it. I know he'll answer. I know I'll know he's there. See, there's so many ways. If we're looking for the Lord, we'll find him. And he'll even do this every now and then, as we see in verse 40, there'll be a little bit of admonishment in there. And these are harsh words to hear. I mean, these guys, they're covered in water. They're shaken to the core. Their legs are trembling. Their whole body is shaking out of fear of what they're going through. And the Lord responds to them, why are you so fearful? Do you not see this? I almost fell over 9 times while this was all going on. What do you mean, why am I so fearful? Did you forget he was there? Why'd you go through so much of the storm before you went to him? That's my question. That's why they got the admonishment. I mean, you know when a storm's coming. Brother, you got a boat. You know. You're standing outside. You're hooking the boat up. You're looking up going, no. No, we're staying indoors today. We're keeping it close to the bank today. Under no time, I mean, right up to the point where it's getting bad, the boat is full. Then we go to the Lord. Why do we do that? Did you think the problem was too small up to that point? Did you forget he was here? Sometimes we forget the Lord's there. Oh, no, brother, not me. Anybody here, you ain't sinned in the last 3 months? If you can say you've sinned, I would dare to say you forgot he was there. You forgot he was there. Don't forget he's there. Why are you so fearful? That question answers itself. Because we waited too long to consider you. I mean, look at their answer. What manner of man is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. They didn't know he could do that. Hey, did you know that your God can do incredible things? Did you know there's not a problem you could face he can't be the solution to? Because when we get narrow-minded, we forget who he is. We get fearful. Of course, you forgot he was there. Of course, you forgot to consider that he's going to be this solution for you. Of course, we got fearful. And then he says this, how is it that ye have no faith? Now, many of us, we know the doctrine of salvation. We know about salvation. I was dead in the trespasses of my sins. The Holy Spirit convicted me. New life was given to me. I repented of my sin. I trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. Me being spiritually dead was made alive. Folks, that is a miracle. Because we as human beings, especially with our sin nature, we are pig-headed, we are closed-minded, and we reject the things of the Lord right out of hand. That is a miracle. If God can save your unworthy soul, what problem could you really have that's out of his control? What could really happen? And as Christians, sometimes we've got to ask ourselves, what is the worst that could happen? You know, what happens if anything, you know, were to go on in the government and they were to say we weren't allowed to get together anymore because what you preach is against what we agree with as a society, so you've got to stop meeting in your building and we'll lock your building up. COVID taught us that they will do that. What happens? Well, I ain't going to stop meeting. What about in other countries like China right now? You'll go to jail for 8 years just for attending church. Well, I don't want to start a prison ministry, but you put me in there, and guess what? We'll put you in solitary. Well, time for me to pray and meditate, and hopefully the Lord lets me keep my mind, because that private containment ain't no good for you. Do what you got to do. What if they kill us? I don't want to go to heaven today, but I really kind of want to go to heaven, so what's worse is going to happen? Hey, what if this disease kills you? Well, that don't sound very pleasant, but in the end, where do I get to go? Okay, all right. You see, what's the worst that could happen is something splendorous, something wonderful. Now, again, I ain't in a rush. I want to do everything the Lord wants me to do right here on earth. I really do. I pray for the rapture. I pray for the Lord's return. I really do. I pray for that. I hope for that. But I'll live every day He's going to give me, and I'll enjoy every day He's going to give me. But what's the worst that could happen? Well, but it's just not comfortable. Yeah. Life can be like that, can't it? Life can be uncomfortable. You see, up in heaven, no sin. No sin, no pain. No parting, no mourning, no sorrow, no frustration, no anger, no irritation, no regrets, no public embarrassment, no lack of integrity. All the things that we suffer from down here, be it ours or somebody else's, we won't have there. But there's a difference. There's sin down here. Ain't no sin up there. We got to go through it. And I'll tell you what, if I got to go through it, let me go down those stairs of that old wooden boat. Let me sit beside my master. Oh, don't let me have a heart that cries and begs for, oh, don't you care? Why would you let me go through this? No, don't give me that heart. Give me the heart that says, Master, I'm here. It's not good. And I need you to do what you've done so many times. And I know, Lord, whether you go up there and you take care of this storm, or you sit down here with me and you make sure I'm learning and growing and I'm okay. Either way, Lord, I'm okay with it. That's what I want to do. Because I tell you what, I think that would have been the right response. Lord, the skies are getting dark. Lord, I hear the rain hitting the water out there, and I'm concerned because this boat is really little, right? Lord, you gave me some intelligence, but you didn't give me all of it. You gave me some strength, but there's still a lot of weakness here, and I'm really concerned about going through this storm. And I know what He'll do. I'll tell you what He'll do. He'll take care of you one way or the other, because that's who He is. He'll take care of you. And I've seen it played out in other people's lives, and I've seen it played out in mine. And I'll tell you this, it gets to the point sometimes where you can't choose which one's better. Well, would you rather the Lord solve the problem immediately, or would you rather go through it, get stronger, and know that He's sitting right next to you the entire time? Which one would you rather? Well, honestly, I'd rather none of them, but if I had to pick, it's hard to. Because I learn more from those moments when I go through the storm. But at the same time, it sure is nice not to have to go through it. I trust Him. I let Him choose. Lord, if you want to go through this together, we'll go through this, and I'll hold your hand. Lord, you want to calm it, I'll praise you just the same. But never forget who's in that boat with you. Never forget He chose to be there. Never forget He knew the storm was coming, and He loves you enough to take care of you through it. Heavenly Father, Lord, you're so good to us. And Lord, it's hard to imagine the things that we could even go through without you. Father, sometimes you calm storms we don't even get to see. Sometimes, Lord, you heal hurts we never even had. You just stop things from coming into our lives. But Father, for every time you've held our hand through the boats, through the storms, we praise you. And Lord, for every time you've stood up and you rebuked our problems and you caused great calm where there was calamity, we praise you. And Lord, we look to the future. Lord, for all the future problems, the future storms. And we rest assured in this thought that you're going to be there with us. Thank you, Lord. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.